there, listeners. Welcome to episode 221 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. In the world of cricket, one-day internationals have often been likened to the middle child, overshadowed by the flashy and fast-paced T20Is and the traditional and revered tests. However, in recent times, the cricketing landscape has witnessed a significant shift in this narrative. The series between South Africa and Australia, England and New Zealand, and the electrifying Asia Cup, respectively, has breathed new life into the ODI format, reminding us of its unique charm and enduring appeal. In this episode, we dive deep into the remarkable resurgence of ODIs and explore what's making this format special again. We discuss the thrilling moments and unforgettable series that have captured the hearts of cricket enthusiasts worldwide, drawing attention back into this game. Tune in to this episode to rediscover the excitement and charm of ODIs as we discuss how they've captured the imagination of everyone like none other. Joining us on the podcast is Siddhant S. Rao. He is an ardent cricket fan who got to know of the sport when India won the first ever T20 World Cup in South Africa and has never looked back since. He has a fascination when it comes to cricket stats and unfamiliar trivia, but playing the game during his free time is what gives him ultimate joy. The World Cup is the biggest event in cricket, and the 2011 World Cup got him emotionally attached just like any other Indian and still brings him tears, due to which ODIs and the World Cup will always hold a special place in his heart. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi, Siddhant. Welcome back to Never on the Back Foot podcast. It feels great to, you know, host you back, and I'm sure we're going to have a great discussion ahead.
Hi, Neha. It is great to be back on this podcast, this time to talk about this very interesting format. There are many factors which will still get the viewers glued to the TV, and hope this World Cup turns out to be good.
Exactly. I mean, this is the World Cup year. We have so much to look forward to. But just to, you know, put this discussion in context, now there were many people who felt that, you know, ODI cricket has lost its relevance because, you know, you see so much of franchisee T20 cricket all around the year. So what are your initial thoughts to, you know, kickstart this discussion?
Yeah, ODI cricket was still doing fine with the rise of T20s till about the COVID start. After the lockdown, ODIs has been slightly in the downtrend, with the cricketers prioritizing the other two formats. But again, just like this channel name, Never on the Back Foot, ODI has come back to life this year with the World Cup around the corner.
Right. And I think another interesting facet is how, you know, a lot of cricketers also, you know, announced their retirement from this format specifically. And most notably, you have Ben Stokes who did that. So what did you make of this trend and how did you look at it?
So in T20s, there is the T20 World Cup every alternate year, the T20 leagues. And with Test being the purest form of the game, the ultimate form of this game, the Test Championship has come back. So every game is important. So ODI does not have the same level of motivation for the cricketers, with only the World Cup coming once every 4 years. So we would not see cricketers try playing all three formats of the game with the same intensity, because it is very tough. And the players coming out with the mental strength, like people not having the same, they cannot play with the same level of intensity in all the three formats. It is very tough. So they would try to prioritize Test and T20 over ODIs.
Fair enough to, you know, ensure that they have more longevity in the game. I think that could have been a strategy. And in the same line of thought, how do you think, you know, ODI cricket has actually evolved over the years to, you know, stay relevant in this era of T20 cricket? Now we even see T10, right? So how do you look at that?
Yeah. So previously in ODIs, 260 and 270 was a fighting total, which could have either been chased in the last few overs or defended properly by the defending team. Now every game is going at 6 runs per over from the start, and team reaching 320 easily. And the chase also is getting interesting with the teams taking the aggressive approach and trying to chase down that total. And most of the times, the chasing team is now winning the games.
Absolutely. And even when you look at ODI, right, it has its own set of charms and obviously like this unique characteristics that kind of sets it apart. So what do you see about ODIs that, you know, really makes it stand apart from other formats?
Yeah, ODIs is like a mixture of T20s and tests. It's like the middle child, as you mentioned in the comments. So it is neither a batsman or bowlers. They can neither too aggressive nor too defensive. They need to find a balance. So with wickets falling early, batsmen can recover easily in T20s, can play a few overs and then go bang bang with ball. And in test, if the wickets fall too early, they can defend for a long time and then play their strokes accordingly. But in this format of the game, the first few overs, like if you wickets fall often, so you have to stabilize the innings and also find the right balance to, take the aggressive up the right time and reach a good goal in the end.
Fair enough. And considering, you know, the influence that tests and T20s have on ODI, so what are some of the trends, you know, that you see has emerged in the recent past that have actually made ODIs quite an interesting format to watch out for?
Yeah, so one of the major thing I have found out is every team now requires two spinners, one of which is a wrist spinner and a finger spinner, along with a swing bowler with the new ball. This has become a compulsory thing because in the first 25 overs of the game, it is very important. The new ball will be swinging a lot. And in the middle overs now is the spinners, especially the wrist spinners, they try to reduce the run rate. And this also gets important breakthroughs because of the pressure created in the middle. And you can see rankings. The rankings are ruled by the new ball bowlers and spinners.
Right, I agree. And, you know, I think another major observation is how you have the two new balls rule, right? Now, many people feel that this has impacted the way the game flows. So how do you think this has actually impacted ODI cricket at large? And do you see this as a good thing or bad thing?
It's neither good nor bad. I would say it's a double-edged sword. For the batsmen, now it is easier to hit in the doors. With there being two new balls, there is no reverse swing. Because with one ball, after 30 to 35 over mark, there will be reverse swing. Which was very tough for the batsmen to finish off games. But now that has become easier. And for the bowlers, especially the new ball bowlers, there are two new balls for two amazing new ball bowlers. So there are more overs of the ball doing something. So you have 15 overs of tough time for the batters. So if you see India, they have Siraj and Bumrah. So both of them having their own set of new ball. I mean, that will be really tough for the batsmen to face first up.
Absolutely. And that really makes the contest also very exciting. And earlier too in the episode, you brought this point of the ODI Super League, right? So how do you think the ICC, you know, has tried to contribute to this promotion and growth of ODI cricket? Because there was the Champions Trophy that was scrapped off. You know, many people felt it isn't working out that well. And then, you know, the ODI Super League came into existence, which gave a lot of the associate members and other teams, you know, more chances to square off against each other in bilateral. So how do you look at all of this?
Yeah, so the ODI Super League, only for this it has ended in 2023. Lots of new teams are trying to get a spot for the World Cup. With the qualifiers, World Cup qualifiers, and with this ODI Super League, the one good thing was there was no team except for the host nation who had a guaranteed World Cup spot. So they had to earn their spot. So that was a very good thing. And coming to this World Cup format, the 10 team World Cup format, I don't think that is a good thing for the growth of the game. It should be like the previous World Cup, the lower ranked teams play the big teams in the World Cup and play at the big stage, which would also increase their exposure and the quality of the cricket.
Absolutely. And now, you know, coming to the crux of our episode, you know, and our discussion as well. Now, we've seen so many series in the past week or so that has really caught our attention, right? One among them has to be the England versus New Zealand series, which has been quite a competitive series. We've seen such high totals and, you know, some real adrenaline rushing cricket. So what are your thoughts on this series?
Yeah, so England and New Zealand are both highly competitive teams, and the crowds in England love their cricket, so it can become a hostile environment for the visiting team. So though it was exciting, like I felt it was a little one-sided, even though the first match was a chase of 292, I mean, it could have been a lot closer than what we had thought of. And great to see the return of big names like Root, Bolt and Stokes, which made the teams very strong and interesting. And one more thing, I mean, the form of Root is a bit of a concern. And the injury to Saudi can be a cause of concern. And of course, amazing to see Stokes back and about and getting that 182, which was very entertaining to say the least.
Right. I mean, that was undoubtedly some biggest, you know, talking points from that series. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have the South Africa versus Australia series. That is, again, you know, nothing, it has been nothing short of exhilarating. You've seen some extreme run fest, supreme knocks and everything. So South Africa also, you know, eventually won the series 3-2, coming down, 0-2. So what are your thoughts on that series and its relevance to, you know, this whole discourse around ODI cricket?
Yeah, so South Africa cricket is a very lovable nation and very lovable team. So it is amazing to see South Africa do well. And the comeback from 2-0 down, they look quite strong and balanced. The batting lineup looks dangerous from 1-7. And they have a very gun bowling lineup. So it looks quite strong and they can come top four in the World Cup. All the matches were very interesting. The first ODI, South Africa looked like they were going to take away the game. But Labuschagne did that and made a statement for himself after being dropped from the World Cup squad. He had to prove to the selectors and he made a very good statement by chasing down that total. He also played well in the second ODI by scoring a century along with the returning Warner, which is a very good opening combination for Australia in the World Cup, where Warner coming back to form is a very good thing for them. The third and fourth ODI, South Africa batting really upped their ante. And what an innings from Klaassen in the fourth ODI.
Yeah.
That was them reaching 400. Wow. And yeah, fifth ODI, they see the series comfortably. And yeah, it was all in all a very good series.
Agreed. And now, you know, we also had the Asia Cup that was being played in the subcontinent conditions, which meant, you know, we didn't get to see a lot of over the top totals, yet we saw encounters that really, you know, captured our attention. And, you know, we saw India emerge as winners as well. So what did you make of the Asia Cup, the kind of contests we saw and even the viewership, right? Like, especially the India-Pakistan match, of course, had so much of spectators thronging the stadiums and, you know, the viewership as well. But all in all, how do you look at it for the health of ODI cricket?
I was actually surprised with the viewership, with the rains coming in and out of the game. Like, it was kind of frustrating. But yeah, the rain affected games mostly. It helped the bowlers. As you said, 260, 270 was a good total to defend. And you can see whoever did well in the spin department reached the finals. India and Sri Lanka, both the spinners did well. Kuldeep Yadav did well for India. And for Sri Lanka, Vellalage and Teekshana had a very good run. And you can see the teams which didn't qualify, it was mostly because of the spinners not playing up to their mark. Pakistan, you can see Shadab was out of form, and Rashid Khan had a mediocre Asia Cup. And the Asia Cup final was, I mean, it was an aberration. Siraj ran through the Sri Lankan lineup, and yeah, they had, they looked quite strong. India looked quite strong with a lethal 11.
Now, you know, in the lead up to the World Cup, it's quite impressive to see some of the teams, you know, getting their combinations right, have, you know, getting these important victories as well. So who do you think will be the top four in the World Cup, you know, playing that quarterfinals eventually, the semifinals and the finals as well?
Yeah, I would definitely put India, the favorites, at the top because of them being the host nation and having a set lineup. Australia, of course, being at the top of the, I mean, it has been changed now. Pakistan has come on top, but Australia look a very dangerous side with their all-rounders. Pakistan, I would have kept, I will keep them if Naseem Shah makes a return. If not, I would probably give them a mid-table finish. But if not for them, I would say South Africa and England are, they can sneak into the top four.
Interesting. That will be quite fascinating to watch out for. And I think the next week also brings us India versus Australia, and both of them, you know, squaring off to get this number one spot in the ODI rankings as well. So how much are you looking forward to this series, and good warm up for India ahead of the World Cup?
Yes. So India has not played at home for a while now. Last they played ODIs against Australia way back before the IPL. So this will be a good warm-up, one with the travelling and one with the pitches. So in pitches in Sri Lanka was usually bat-first kind of pitches. Now here in India, back home, it is more of a chasing pitch. So it'll be interesting to see. It'll be a high-total series. And it, teams chasing can chase down 300 to 320. So, yes, we'll see how the batsmen go about
that. That's very true. And earlier too, actually, this question struck me and I did want to ask you, you know, when we were talking about the trends in ODI cricket, now somewhere in the sea of big totals that we have been witnessing off late, and you see how in the last 10 to 15 overs, you know, most of these batters go all out and, you know, they unleash all their fury on the bowlers. So somewhere do you see, you know, the contest being very lopsided in the favor of batters completely and no in-ways for a bowler?
Yes, I definitely feel it has become a batter-friendly game. With no reverse swing, it, as I mentioned previously, run-making has become easier in the death over. One. And the second point, every team has designated finishers who have played plenty of T20 cricket. So they know their roles and they come in the last 10 to 15 overs and play aggressively. So no total feels as safe as before due to this.
Absolutely. And somewhere, you know, getting that balance will be important. And now even, you know, with the ODI World Cup fast approaching, you know, we've spoken at length about how so many series have, you know, helped bring back this interest. But a positive signs overall, and are you also excited for the World Cup that's happening at home?
Yes, the World Cup is the marquee event. It comes once every 4 years. So it is like a even bigger than all the T20 leagues, T20 World Cup, and even the World Test Championship, which has come recently. So all the teams will be playing with their strongest team. And with all the top players coming into the lineup, it is, I mean, I'm very excited. And also Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, Warner, Smith, Stokes, and Quinton de Kock all will be mostly playing their last World Cup. So it'll be, hopefully it'll be a memorable one for them, and hopefully it'll be a very interesting World Cup for all of us.
Absolutely. There's just so much to look forward to because it's a home World Cup and we have a good team in spite of, you know, some selection errors here and there. And, you know, getting that balance will obviously be crucial. And somewhere, you know, do you feel that not having a Champions Trophy is a big miss? Because now we see, you know, how the Test World Test Championship has come into existence. But do you see, you know, if this World Cup goes well, the ICC can actually consider, you know, getting back the Champions Trophy and have a more full calendar, if that makes sense?
Yeah, as per the schedule, Champions Trophy is scheduled to be there in 2025 in Pakistan. So yeah, that will be very interesting. That will keep ODI cricket as relevant as the World Cup, because Champions Trophy is a battle of the top teams. So that will be very interesting. Getting back the Champions Trophy is a very big boost for ODI cricket.
Undoubtedly. And now at large, how do you see, you know, the future of ODI cricket evolving? Do you see any challenges or any opportunities that lie untapped in this format?
Yes, ODI cricket will be relevant as long as all the players play with the same intensity as they play with in the other two formats. The quality of teams will also increase if the number of bilaterals with the lower ranked teams are increased. So I hopefully in the future, the schedules include a couple of series with the lower ranked teams, which will also increase their quality. And with many teams coming in, it will be a good competition and all teams will play with their strongest lineup come any bilateral series in the near future.
Fair enough. And that also gives us a lot to look forward to. Now, as we reach the end of our discussion, do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or a message for our listeners?
Yes, the World Cup is the biggest event in cricket as a sport. So I hope the next 2 months will have amazing and thrilling encounters and get people attached to this game, and particularly ODI as a format, which holds a special place in many cricket fans. So yeah, I just hope this World Cup goes as we all expect it to go.
Exactly. And in spite of the whole ticketing fiasco that happened, we still hope, you know, fans are glued on for this World Cup, because there's just so much riding on the team and we get to see some quality encounters, not just our team, but even all the other teams that will be participating. And on that note, I'd like to draw curtains on this discussion. Thank you so much, Siddhant, for, you know, joining me on the podcast yet again, sharing some lovely insights. And here's hoping to have you back on the podcast. And I'm sure you will. You're like our designated, you know, guest. And until next time, take care and bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Cheers. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverInTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads and @NeverInTheBackOne on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content and a lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.